Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On Tuesday, it is 2:35. That means our guy, one half of Payne and Pendergast, Seth Payne, joins us at this very time. Seth, appreciate you jumping on with us as always.
It's my pleasure. And I'll just remind you before you impose any punishment that Bob Kraft didn't get punished. Okay. So that's what I'm going to say before
they did,
any.
They did hit him for $500,000. So I guess that's sort of a punishment.
I'll take that hit as long as I don't miss any games. Since apparently that's what we're doing now, we're just. Before I go into any situation where I might get in trouble for anything, I'm just going to say, hey, you know, the owners haven't gotten in trouble for this. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that is an interesting logic, because we kick this thing off as Deshaun's hearing is going on. Well, it started 8 a.m. While you guys were on the air. I heard you guys talking about it this morning. That is interesting. My wonder from you is, do you think that Deshaun will have players and people around the league backing him if, like, a hammer is dropped on him? As we see right now, there's no criminal charges and it's just civil right now. Do you think there will be a fair amount of people backing him around the league?
See, no.
You don't think so?
I'm just no. Even if, like, yeah, no matter how they feel about it, think about what happened in the first few days after all this started coming out, where he had a few players speak up and say some things. Charles Amenihu, and somebody else, and like they, those guys, representatives and other probably advisors, put the kibosh on that real quick. Like, nobody wants to be in the position of, you know, vociferously defending somebody who's being punished for sexual misconduct. So I think there'll be some, like, people kind of speaking around the issue somewhat. But I'd be surprised. You know, there's always a couple of outspoken guys who are going to speak their mind. But I would be surprised.
Seth, where are you at with, like, where the NFL is? Good gosh, can't get it
right
out,
buddy.
You got me all choked up. yeah. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, like, the NFL being between a rock and a hard place as we sit, if they drop the hammer on Deshaun Watson, whether we like it or not, the NFLPA is going to push back. As you said, I know you were joking with the Robert Kraft stuff and Jerry Jones stuff and Daniel Snyder stuff. They're going to push back in a major, major way with that. If they don't drop the hammer on Deshaun Watson and he appears to get off lightly, then clearly the disrespect or the tolerance of these kind of actions involving women are going to be a major, major problem, I think, publicly. I mean, the NFL's between a rock and a hard place in terms of how they end up deciding on this.
Yeah.
Am I missing something there? Is that fair?
No, I think it's fair. It is. I mean, but they're stuck in a spot, too, where, you know, sometimes, even though this isn't a legal proceeding, it's still, they're bound by rules and they're bound by, you know, just whatever evidence they have. And it's, I think sometimes this stuff just happens, you know, whether, no matter how you feel about, however anybody, any one of us feels about what Deshaun did or didn't do, sometimes people get a lighter punishment than you want. Sometimes people get a heavier one. And this is the type of case or type of situation where that tends to happen, that people tend to get lighter punishments because of the nature of the evidence. So but it's not like the NFL hasn't been here before. I guess that's where I think sometimes when – you know, people ask, how is the NFL going to respond given this pressure on them to either send a message, but also at the same time, you know, try to abide by whatever guidelines they have. Sue Robinson, the independent arbitrator, has to abide by whatever guidelines she has for, you know, how much evidence does she personally need to see. They got to abide by that. The big factor is, okay, if Sue Robinson delivers a punishment, then Roger Goodell can step in and change it immediately. I guess the one little factor in this that hasn't really been talked a lot about, at least that I've heard or seen, is that either side, the NFL or the NFLPA, can get rid of Sue Robinson anytime they want after she's served for 2 years, given 120 days notice. And I think she's served for about 2 years already. So if something goes awry here and either side really doesn't like it, they do have the option to basically replace the arbitrator. That doesn't replace her decision, but it kind of injects a little bit of, you know, you wonder a little bit like, okay, is she going to be affected by that at all? It's not like she is genuinely completely independent, like appointed for life, like a Supreme Court justice or something. Like all of this, it's crazy because we've never seen this process in this CBA with an independent arbitrator who's at least way more independent than she used to be, or that role used to be. Like, how is it going to play out? Nobody really knows. And as much as the NFL might be pushing for 1 year initially, the independent arbitrator theoretically doesn't need to be swayed by that at all. She could say, no, I think it's actually, there's not enough evidence, in my opinion, zero suspended games, or she could drop the hammer and say it's 2 years.
Yeah. Seth Payne, here with us, Sports Radio 610.
Go ahead. Well, you mentioned 2 years, Seth. We heard earlier from an attorney with a legal analyst with the Athletic that you know, possibly the year that he's already missed could be taken into consideration. Do you see that as a possibility? I guess anything's on the table,
like
here.
But served. Yeah,
yeah almost like maybe. Time served. I mean, I don't necessarily look at it and go, yeah, that makes sense. But it's damn sure got to be a play by Deshaun's folks, right? Now that we've heard about it.
The only question there would be, okay, maybe if he hadn't asked for a trade already, yeah. But he already was on record as of, you know, not being happy being employed where he was, and the Texans could have wanted to trade him for that reason alone. I mean, hey, Baker Mayfield's getting traded for that very reason. I don't see that unless she feels that way. That's the whole thing. Like whenever you're going into like a grand jury situation, a jury situation, a judge ruling on anything, like there are no defined set rules. We just have to wait and see whatever she decides.
And he was paid the whole time, right?
Yeah,
and that is the difference between if he's suspended, he wouldn't get his salary. He got his salary all last year.
$10.5 million for having a – Clint, you were the first one to point out. I remember we were out at practice last year, and Deshaun had been out there for a couple days, and then one day walked over to one of the trainers and started pointing at his ankle. And you were like, yep, there it is. That's this is going to be Deshaun trying like hell to – it looked like you and I think we're both thinking like, yeah, Deshaun's going to try like hell to not have to be out here in this fishbowl like with everybody watching him.
No question.
And it was – that part of it – guys, that part of it was – I don't know if I would include that as part of a suspension, but it felt very much like that was like some sort of a punishment by the Texans to Deshaun, didn't it? That like, you're going to be out here and you're going to get fined if you want. We could start coming after your money, but you're going to be out here in the heat and you're going to deal with it.
Yeah. I was talking to Clint about this earlier. When you see a situation like this, man, it always makes your mind think of any kind of scenario. And one thing I'm looking at is, I know from talking to a lot of people, the NFL does not want to look like they are weak on this at all. And I'm curious, as we're seeing so many reports of the league is pushing for indefinite suspension, the league is pushing for a year at least. And I'm wondering, are they continuing to have that as the narrative of what the league comes out? And then, if Sue L. Robinson decides, hey, we got 8 games. Well, the league here, you heard us, though. We want it more. We want it bigger. So I'm wondering if that is also almost a ploy outwardly to people to make the league feel like, hey, we listen, we wanted Trevor Bauer. We wanted the big to drop the hammer. But, hey, this independent entity said no. They won 8 games. I just wonder that.
Do you think do you think Roger Goodell already has 3 speeches prepared? Like one for if there's a heavy suspension, one for if there's a too light a suspension, and one for if it's just right. And he'll come out and either say justice was served or we take these things seriously, but we also need to, you know, abide by the rules of the CBA. It's a good question, and you always wonder in these things, like, whenever there's one leak, like this one first leaked on, I think, Saturday in the Wall Street Journal, you always wonder if, like, people in the league or whoever's putting that leak out there are like, okay, wait, did that kind of grab on? No? Okay, leak it to somebody else. Let's see if Schefter tips it over the edge. And because it certainly felt that way over the course of like 3 days that, oh, wait a second, now here's another source saying this, that this is what the league is pushing for and this is what the league wants. I think that's certainly so. Or possible. It's certainly possible. It's such an ugly situation that kind of, it just shines a light on a lot of the issues that we have, you know, with any time in normal society or, you know, real life or what have you, when it comes to either trying to prosecute these crimes, alleged crimes, or defend yourself against these alleged crimes. There are just a whole lot of people that have their opinions set hard and fast before they really even hear a whole lot. And I don't think the NFL, I think they've been doing this long enough, really, since Ray Rice, where I think they did learn some hard lessons and did try to change. But I think they also understand that they're damned if they do and damned if they don't in a lot of respects. When they reach out and try to talk to victims, alleged victims, they get lambasted for trying to alter the process. If they don't talk to the victims, they get lambasted as, not caring enough about trying to find out what happened. And that's just it's a reflection of just how murky and awful and tough these situations are in general. And I think it's something the NFL just, they kind of have to deal with it. Like that's the heavy as the head that wears the crown part of it. You're going to be subject to a lot of scrutiny whenever there's any kind of a sexual assault oriented type of crime.
Seth, I know you don't like to speculate, man, but every week we talk to you, I feel like I need to ask you this because things are changing so rapidly, but you know, what do you think? Where's your gut right now on what happens to Deshaun Watson from a suspension standpoint? I mean, we've heard anything from some people believe 6 games, some people believe indefinitely. Where's your mind at right now?
I think from the people, you know, the Greg Hardy initial suspension was one that I wondered about because that was one where It was pretty extreme and pretty graphic, but it involved one woman, and it was 10 games, if I remember correctly. So I feel like if Sue Robinson's going back and trying to figure out, okay, what's the precedent here? What has it looked like since? Really, I think the Ray Rice incident was probably when we're in the most recent era of how the NFL handles all this kind of stuff. So I would say more than 10 games and probably up to a year. So I'd split my kind of split the difference there. And I'd say, let's say it's an over or under of 12 games for me based on a few of those precedents.
Yeah. Seth Payne here with us, as he joins us on Tuesday, each and every Tuesday at this time. Hey, you guys, I know you heard what Greg Cosell, had to say about the Texans. One of the real trusted NFL minds, in the business, and he was very, very positive about what he thinks the Texans can be next year. And as far as talent, I'm curious from you, do you feel that this is a much more talented team overall this year than what they had last year?
I think that it's slightly more talented, I guess, if we're just going by physical talent alone, because you've got a couple of first-round picks. You've got multiple draft picks that all look very promising. I don't think they reached on actual physical talent on any of these guys, even if you think they might have reached on some of them. They're definitely more athletic than some of the guys that were on the team last year. I think more than anything, it's a combination of that and then the rookies from last year having a year under their belt, and then some of the veterans in the system having more experience in this system, at least on defense. Offense, there will be some similarities, but a lot of new stuff too. So I think it's, I don't think it's going to be a drastic difference, but I think you're going to see more flash out of more of the young guys. And, you know, whether that's first year or second year guys. And I think some of the guys that people are excited about around here, people, you know, nationally for good reason might not really be thinking a whole lot about, but like a guy like, let's say a guy like Garrett Wallow, the linebacker, I think that they have very high hopes for him. We saw him flash a lot last year, but nobody's going to notice it obviously because nobody's watching Texans games last year. I think they have more guys like Garrett Wallow on this roster than people would realize outside the city of Houston. I should say the fandom of the Houston Texans. Lots of people in Houston don't know Garrett Wallow at this point. So I do agree with him, and I do think that just like last year, the thing that people are discounting, and I'm talking about people that think the Texans are going to, you know, go winless or only win one game or obviously be the worst game in the league, the thing that they're discounting is the fact that they will not be starting a bunch of rookies. When they do start rookies, they're not going to be guys who are undrafted or, you know, other draft picks that are never going to make it in the league. They have veteran players who might be journeymen, but who don't mess up. And the old saying in the NFL is more games are lost than won. Yeah, when you're playing a whole bunch of rookies, if you have a rookie quarterback, those types of things are the things that get you killed in games. And the Texans don't have as many of those as some other teams that are perhaps more physically talented on paper. So I don't know if bullish is the right word, but yeah, I do think that they'll outperform what the expectations are, at least from us media types around the country. And I think the other thing, you know, it's funny. This perception outside of Houston that somehow David Culley overperformed, like, annoys me because the over-under on that team was 4 games, and that was set with David Culley as the coach. So, yeah, so I think that people are discounting how much of a difference Lovie Smith could make. Because we've seen, you know, already just through, you know, his time in the NFL, but then also just from what we've seen of him this spring, he's a more capable head coach and obviously a much more experienced head coach than David Culley. So that's a big advantage that I really haven't seen a lot of people nationally talk about.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Seth, we always enjoy you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.